Thank you so much for joining us today for this special conversation. I'm Ryan Cooper, the pastor of InStep Ministries, our counseling ministry here at Emmanuel Baptist Church. This episode features Sharon Nolte, our lead facilitator of divorce care here at Emmanuel. Divorce care is a ministry dedicated to helping victims of divorce find hope and healing on their path to recovery from this devastating loss. You can check out more information at divorcecare.org. Well, today you'll hear Sharon talk about her story, about her divorce and healing journey. My goal is that you would hear this and encourage anyone you know who is struggling with divorce to join us in the fall of 2024 on Tuesday evenings from 6:30 to 8 p.m. Our first session is September 3rd. You can sign up on the Divorce Care website or by checking out our life group guide on Emmanuel's website. While divorce is indescribably painful, you don't have to persist in that pain. Healing is available through the Word of God with trusted facilitators and alongside the friends you will meet along the way. We are looking forward to guiding and walking with you through the healing process. Well, I am so thankful to Sharon for joining me and courageously sharing her story. My prayer is that the Lord uses it to help you find hope and healing on your journey. Thank you for joining us today for my conversation with Sharon Nolte. Okay, well, Sharon, it's great to sit down and talk with you about divorce care, about your experience and so on. And thanks for being here today.
I'm absolutely happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. And I've asked you to come and hang out because I want people listening to this conversation to hear about divorce care, to hear some parts of your story. I want folks out there who are going through a divorce, who have recently gone through a divorce, to know that that divorce care and that Emmanuel and other churches in our community that are offering this program, that it's a safe place to come, and that, you know, church is a place where broken people can come, they can meet Jesus, they can dive into healthy community, and they can find hope and healing through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God is all about redemption and redeeming Absolutely. The junk in our lives. And I know that's true for your life too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Divorce care gives you hope. That was what I was looking for. And I think that was just validation for that you're not crazy and for feeling the way you do.
Yeah.
And most of all, hope. So
yeah, absolutely. And we're going to dive into your story and how you came to be a divorce care facilitator here at Emmanuel. And there's a lot to talk about.
Yes.
But so let's just start kind of at the beginning. Would you mind just briefly describing the events surrounding your divorce?
Well, so my husband, my former husband and I were married 33 years. And backing up a bit, when we were had been married 21 years, he came to me and confessed to having an affair.
Hmm.
And he had fathered a child with his mistress. And we were Christians, and I was broken, of course. But I knew the right thing to do was to forgive him, and I did forgive him.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a son with that woman, and we tried to be in his lives. He was in a different city as much as we could. But anyway, life went on for another 10 years, and we did well, and we would go visit his son, and we had three grown daughters, the two of us. And then in 2004, so it was we had been married 33 years then. Uh-huh. He our barn burned down on our ranch, and I think it just sent him into oblivion, I guess. I don't know what else to describe it as, but anyway, then in all the turmoil of that and losing some livestock and what was valuable to him as far as stuff, he confessed that he was having another affair, mm-hmm. and he wanted a divorce. And it hit me like a Mack truck. I just couldn't believe that what we had gone through with this child he had fathered with this other woman and the forgiveness and how our marriage had done really well after that, that now we were at that place again, and he wanted out. And so I moved out. He was adamant, and we had a ranch, so of course I couldn't stay there and take care of it, sure. and work. So I moved into Billings, and he stayed on our ranch. And 2 weeks later, he moved his girlfriend in.
Sure.
And it was absolutely gut-wrenching for me. And so I found out about divorce care, and through another church, and signed up for that.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll get into how you discovered that, divorce care and so on. So to recap, 33 years of marriage, 21 years in, he had confessed that he had an affair, fathered a child. You chose to forgive him. You said things started to get better after that. You tried to make it work the best you could.
Absolutely.
And then this event of the barn burning down, which included the loss of, some animals, some mm-hmm. tack,
yep.
equipment.
Yep.
It's not just like your old dilapidated barn
no.
out in the middle of it. It's a nice,
yep.
modern, with electricity and so on and so forth barn.
Yes.
Incredibly valuable to you guys. But that event for him was the catalyst by which that
yep.
that he took these steps towards ending your marriage.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So what were the dominant emotions and thoughts that you had after after you moved out, after he wanted to divorce you, and up until the divorce was final and so on?
Well, I mostly felt like a failure. I remember speaking to a woman at our church and telling her, if I couldn't do a simple thing like hold a marriage together, what was wrong with me? Mm. And she told me, there's nothing simple about holding a marriage together when there's
right.
only one person trying.
Mm.
And I felt like I had loser stamped on my forehead.
Sure.
I felt hopeless. I had married him at 18, right out of high school. I had no education. I was self-employed. I had a little business of my own. But my health insurance was through his job. And, the insurance on our vehicles was through the ranch. And just so many things I was dependent on him for. And I went to visit our pastor at the time and was a complete mess and told him, I'll never make it. I'll never make it without him.
Yeah.
And he said, you will make it. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
But I did not believe that.
Of course. Yeah, of course. So I would be willing to bet, Sharon, that anybody listening to this conversation who has gone through divorce or is going through divorce identifies with a lot of what you just said.
Yes.
That hopelessness, that despair,
yep.
the feeling of not knowing if you're even going to survive, let alone thrive. I mean, thriving was probably out of the question.
Yeah, that,
right?
Yes.
Day to day, from all the way from relationships down to the minutia
yes.
of, the small decisions that
yes.
you that were made for you.
Well, the abandonment was so huge to me. I just felt like I had given the best years of my life to him, and I was approaching 50, and I just thought, no, nobody's going to want me now. I mean, I'm used up. I'm old. I'm fat. I'm
sure.
all those things that you think when you get into you know, pushing your senior years, I never thought that I would survive.
Yeah.
The abandonment was huge. We had raised three daughters together. Our one daughter was pregnant with our first grandchild. And, you know, you have these dreams that you're going to be grandparents together. And we always said we're going to be the fun grandparents. And and here we were.
Yeah. Yeah, here you were at nearly 50, divorced. He's got another woman moving in with him. And just like that, for him, he just turns it off and it's over. And you're left to pick up the pieces.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. How do you think you went from... I'm guessing when you got married, you had this idea of, it could never happen to me.
Exactly.
Right? Like, our marriage is, even with the affair at 21 years, which was shocking and horrific, no doubt, and learning of him fathering a child out of wedlock, to... Okay, you are now a divorcee. Mm-hmm. How did you go from it could never happen to me to it happened to me?
That's a good question. So when we were first married, when I was 18 and he was 20, I was not a believer. And he was. He always professed to being a follower of Christ. And it wasn't until my middle daughter was 18 months that I came to know the Lord. And, you know, I had heard of other people getting divorced that we knew from church we went to and stuff. And I always thought, you can't get divorced. You're Christians.
Yeah.
Christians don't get divorced.
Sure.
And so that was a big pill to swallow, to think, we're Christians. We don't do this. This is not in the game plan.
Yeah.
We work things out. And I came from a home of not believers, and he came from a home of a family of believers, and they had always loved me and mentored me and been very kind to me through my walk with the Lord. And I just couldn't believe that this was something that he wanted. And especially when one of our girls got married, he told the youngest one, you better make sure this is the one, because you only get married once.
Sure. Yeah.
And so all those things came flooding back into my memory. And like, you're saying this is what it is, but yet you're over here living this way. So
yeah,
I'm confused.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So then you find yourself a follower of Jesus and a divorcee, thinking, it happened to me.
Yes.
It happened to me. I want to talk about your kids here in just a minute, but how did hope, obviously that was a time of just terrible sadness, terrible sorrow, terrible despair. It happened to you. You're a Christian. You're divorced. How did hope begin to return for you?
Well, I had no hope in the beginning, of course, but I had a house cleaning business, and a couple I cleaned for who were very, very wealthy and wonderful followers of Jesus, and they went to a church, in a big church, and they saw my despair. They loved me. They hugged me. They were so good to me. And they told me about a divorce care program in their church.
Yeah.
And they said, you need to go to this. And they told, you know, and so I went to that church and signed up for it, and wanted to talk to somebody there, and the person that led it wasn't there. But anyway, the night that it started, divorce care started, it started at like 6:30 or something, and I was in the parking lot at 5:30. I could not wait, because I felt like I was going to get some relief. Like, I just couldn't wait to have someone give me some hope, tell me that it was going to be okay. And a lot of people I've talked to since then, they are embarrassed to go to divorce care and embarrassed because of the failure of their marriage. But for me, I couldn't wait to get there.
Yeah.
And I have made lifelong friendships from that.
Yeah.
Class.
Yeah. So your house, you're cleaning homes, doing what you can, what you know.
Yep.
You meet this couple. They love you well. I can tell that still means so much to you to this day.
Yeah.
As I see tears filling your eyes.
Yes.
And I think for those listening, to have somebody in your life who recognizes your emotional and your relational state and to say, hey, I love you enough to say, here's a place where you can go find some hope.
Yes.
I know it sounds like for you that was an absolute lifeline, and you were so ready for that.
Yes, it was absolutely. I felt like divorce care and this couple had, and they both since passed away, wonderful, godly people, but they threw me a lifeline that I didn't know was out there.
Yeah, yeah. And so you were ready. You were there an hour early.
Yep.
Man, for those folks listening who are early birds, they'd be so proud of you.
Yeah.
For me, I would have showed up right on the button, if not a few minutes late. I don't want to be the first one walking in, you know. But I'd be willing to bet there are some people out there that are listening that will say, well, good for you, Sharon.
Yeah.
But I am so ashamed.
Yes.
I am so embarrassed.
Yes.
I'm so guilty. I know I had a part in the divorce.
Right.
And I don't want to go to that group for those people. Mm-hmm. What would you say to those people?
I would say that humble yourself and go. Since that time, and I've become a leader, you know, I have seen those people, and I saw them in my own class, the first one I went to. They came in the door with their heads hung in shame and just feeling so lost. And I know I felt that way when I went, but I ran in the door. I ran in the front door. Mm-hmm. I knew the place that I needed to go was back to Jesus, because we had gotten so caught up in ranching and working and kids' activities or going here and going there that we had let our time with the Lord slip.
Yeah.
Even though we attended church and sat there like we're everything's good, and everything was not good.
Right, right. Yeah. So describe that first session for you, that first divorce care session. Of course, you talk about being there early and running in the door. Tell us more about that.
So the first time I went, there was probably a room of 50 to 60 people.
Wow.
And it was a big gathering.
Wow. Okay.
And they had, I don't know, 8 or 10 leaders, male and female. So we listened to a video where the leader first got up and spoke, and we watched a video together, and then they split us up into small groups. So we, and they, you know, friends tend to go together.
Sure.
And they want to be with each other. But what they did was really good, because we all stood, you know, around the room, and they went 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Just like gym class.
Yes. So everybody got split up. So there was no sitting there with your friend.
Yeah, that's right.
And which was brilliant, because you got to meet more people and be your true self and not have to worry about what your friend was going to repeat or anything. And the thing about going into a small group is it's a safe place. There's they do housekeeping rules in the beginning that we don't share this stuff outside of here.
Right.
So it was our safe place. And I think there were 10 or 12. I'm not sure. In our group, and the leaders were phenomenal. And an interesting story now is one of the gals that was in my class, who I had not met, but we got to be friends, is now my sister-in-law.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Yes. I love that. So it sounds like for you, divorce care, I heard a quote recently, and it goes something like this. I'm probably going to butcher it, so whoever quote this is, I'm sorry. But it says, what if there's a place that is so safe where you can go and you can be completely honest and completely yourself and still be loved?
That's,
does that sound like divorce care?
That was divorce care.
Yeah.
That was absolutely divorce care. And for myself, I couldn't wait for the next Tuesday to come around so I could go again and be around these people who understood. Everybody had their own story. Everybody's story was different. And some of us sitting there thinking, you know, we're sharing and we've got it so bad and this is what happened to me. And my girls were grown. So, you know, I had it bad, but I mean, when you're listening to a story of a young mother across the table that's got four little children and her husband threw her stuff out in the street, I mean, it's a good time to look around and go, I don't have it that bad.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't have it so bad.
Yeah.
And yeah.
So you mentioned your kids. They were all adults this time.
Yes.
In fact, one or multiples of them were married, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So
they were all married.
Yeah.
Yes.
So they're all out of the house. They're all married. You were expecting your first grandbaby at
yes.
this time,
yes.
right? And I say you were expecting, right? Because grandma's a very important role.
Yes.
We know everybody's situation is different. Some folks have kids at home. Some folks don't
Absolutely.
Have kids
right.
At all. And some folks are, you know, they're fairly new into their marriage. They decide to get a divorce or they've been married 30, 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
But describe the effects of the divorce on your children.
Well, my children, my daughters, were all living away from here. One was in England. Her husband was
Brilliant.
In the military. One was in Omaha. Her husband was in the military. And one was in Denver.
Oh, okay.
And my parents were in North Dakota. And I had no one.
Yeah.
No one. My former husband was very controlling,
uh-huh.
did not want me to have friends, because if I was pouring time into friendships, that meant I wasn't home on the ranch working.
Right.
So friends were not an option.
Mm-hmm.
So here I find myself living in Billings. My church is up in Joliet, and I'm in Billings with no friends, no family, no kids, no parents, nobody for
yeah.
me to talk to. And so that was the other relief for myself at divorce care, was I found friends.
Yeah, yeah.
People who understood my situation.
Yeah, definitely. So your kids were far away.
Yes.
And obviously you were talking to them and told them what had happened.
Yes.
So they got your story, they got dad's story. Two, maybe,
well,
probably.
No. Dad didn't talk to him.
No communication about it.
No. So I think Dad was, he knew he was in the wrong. And so he had some shame and guilt. So how he dealt with that was just not to talk to them.
Yeah, just to hide and to work. And,
And I know my poor daughters got tired of me calling and crying on the phone and, you know, what am I going to do without him? I don't know how I'm going to make it. And
yeah.
I'm sure months into it, they were like, okay, Mom, be done. Okay.
Sure, sure. How long after the divorce did you start in with divorce care?
Oh, I was just separated.
Okay, so the divorce wasn't even final.
Oh, no,
obviously
it took 2 years to
2 years.
Get divorced.
Oh,
yeah.
That's
so
right.
He beat me and threw me out on July 21st.
Okay, so not only did the affair start, and he told you about the affair, but then he tacked on some physical abuse on top of that.
Because I wouldn't leave.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I see.
So, And then, so divorce care actually started September, right after Labor Day.
Okay, so July you're out.
Yeah.
And you know, you, it's clearly over.
Well, I'm hoping for reconciliation.
Okay, so at this time you still are. Okay.
Oh, I'm begging.
Interesting. Yeah, interesting.
I'm trusting the Lord for reconciliation.
Okay.
I mean, I love this man.
And of course.
I've got three children with him, and we're going to be grandparents. And I am praying for reconciliation, like you've never seen. I am praying because I did not want to see our family torn in two.
Yeah, so you're praying, you're pleading with the Lord. God,
yes.
This is terrible. Please fix this.
Yes.
And I think that's that's so noble. I don't think that's unusual though. I think it's pretty common.
Yes.
And
I'm a forgiving person. I knew that I could forgive him.
Clearly.
I could forgive this. I mean, but he didn't want forgiveness.
Yeah. Yeah. So describe to me the process of going from, I have hope in the Lord that reconciliation is going to happen. And I have no doubt that that was God's design.
Absolutely.
That was his desire too.
Yep.
Is reconciliation. So how did you go from that hope for reconciliation, hope in the Lord, which is hope rightly placed,
yep,
to, okay, it's over.
Ryan, I had to understand, this is something that everyone out there needs to understand, is everyone has a free will.
Yeah.
And that was my will, was to have my marriage restored and for God to heal it. But I also had to understand that it wasn't my husband's will. He didn't. He had a free will to choose, and he did not choose our marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in Napa Auto Parts in Red Lodge one day picking up a part for something.
Oh,
and
yeah, of course.
The owner
Napa
said to me, I heard what happened to you and your husband. I said, yeah, it's been tough. And he goes, well, Sharon, why would you want to be with someone that doesn't want to be with you? And that was like, that was eye-opening for me too, because here I was begging and pleading and wanting my marriage to work. Well, he didn't want me. He didn't want any part of me or our kids.
Yeah.
So that's when I had to understand that he had a free will.
Yeah.
And he chose.
Yeah. Who knew that Napa Auto Parts guys give great car advice and life advice?
Exactly.
Wow. Napa of all places. That's extraordinary.
Yes.
Did you ever go back and thank him, like later on?
Actually, he passed away from cancer a few years after that. He's
sure,
a great guy.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. So he was your guy at Napa.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
He was. It opened my eyes to, here I am wanting to be with him, and that's not what he wants. Why do I want to settle for that?
Yeah.
And I think of, also, I used to watch Dr. Phil a lot. And,
oh, of course, yeah.
And I think a couple of things he has said that have resonated with me, and one was, why are you waiting for someone else to decide how you're going to live your life?
Interesting, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was waiting for. Yeah. I was waiting for my ex-husband, to decide whether he wanted me or he didn't want me, and that would change the course of my whole life from there on out.
Right.
But I put that in my ex-husband's hands.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's sad. That's no self-esteem.
Sure.
No self-worth.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like that your marriage was what gave you value.
It was.
And not Christ, necessarily.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And not Christ. And so coming out of that marriage, here you are with your value stripped away, your source of value, a shaky foundation, no doubt.
Yes.
And then you start to attend divorce care. Your first session starts. You run in the door. You're just desperate, hungry for hope, hope for reconciliation. But
yes.
then the hope switches.
Yes.
Right. It switches from reconciliation to what for you?
I think to finding peace with myself and the Lord. I mean, I knew that I needed to run right back to the Lord. I knew that is what was missing in my life.
Sure.
And so the divorce care program, one of their main goals, of course, is for you to reconcile.
Yeah.
They want you to reconcile. So it's not just for people going through divorce or divorced people. It is for anyone that is separated or heading for divorce. And we absolutely encourage reconciliation. When I became a leader for 5-7 years at another church, I probably had 4 or 5 people who actually reconciled with their spouses.
Wow.
And they're still together.
Yeah, I love that.
And they have. I have seen them out in public, and I don't remember them. We had so many people, and they have thanked me for giving them hope and helping them navigate that. And that was a really neat aspect of divorce care, is that they really, really want to see people reconciled. But on the other hand, if you're being abused, if you're being cheated on, if there are any kind of kind of abuse going
on,
emotional, physical, any kind of abuse going on, God does not want you in that. That is not His design for you.
Yeah, and going back to this free will reality, is if one person wants to be married, but the other person is intent on pursuing relationships outside of the marriage, if the other person is intent on being physically abusive on a regular basis, if the other person is intent on pursuing an addiction, if the other person is intent on and unrepentantly intent on pursuing their own selfish desires in very heinous, horrible ways, then that is not, that biblically it says that person does not want to be married to you anymore. And I think a lot of people, it's hard to fault this, okay?
Yeah.
Because people want to stay married.
They do.
And rightfully so.
Absolutely.
And some, we know that some leave marriages way too easily.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
we're
and we know that some stay too long.
Yes.
But in the midst of all of this, divorce care is an opportunity for people to find hope and healing in
absolutely.
The gospel of Jesus Christ. That Jesus is about redeeming our brokenness and bringing us to a place of hope and healing. And He did that for you, too.
He did that.
I mean, you came from this first session 3 months after being beaten and thrown out of your home to showing up early, running in the door. Every single week, you're excited about it. And then realizing that your marriage is actually going to end officially and it's not going to be reconciled ever. To now you're a divorce care facilitator, and you have been for quite a while. So tell me about that transition from being divorce care participant to divorce care facilitator.
So it's a 13-week program, and I went through the divorce care program 3 times.
As a participant.
As a participant, because each time you go through it, you're at a different place.
Yeah.
First time, you're like so raw and emotional and hurt. And second time, you know, there's usually a break in between you start, and then you're healing. You can see, like, you're finally starting to maybe smile once in a while or laugh with the other participants about something silly, and we celebrate birthdays or whatever it is. Third time through, you're just like, I'm gonna be okay. So one thing I would like to share to the listeners that came clear to me is, as I was in that stage where I was knowing that I was going to be okay, but still wanting reconciliation, And I was driving, at the time I was living in Red Lodge, and I was driving to Billings to work, and driving by our ranch, seeing the girlfriend's car
sure.
parked in our driveway, because it's right on the highway.
Yeah. In your spot.
In my spot.
Yeah, of course.
And I am crying every morning and every night when I drive back and forth. I am sobbing, driving by. Why, Lord, why? I want my marriage. I want my family together.
Yeah.
And in one instance, I felt the presence of the Lord so strong. He was sitting in the passenger seat. And he said to me, I said, why did you allow this to happen to me? I don't understand. I wanted it so bad. I tried so hard. I begged, I pleaded. And he said, I didn't do it to you. I did it for you to set you free.
Mm.
What I didn't realize that being married to him, I was in bondage. Mm. He was my idol. Mm. I did everything he asked of me. Worked, no friends. I had no life of my own. When I went to a counselor to get through this, my counselor said to me, okay, tell me who you are. Who is Sharon?
Yeah.
And I said, well, I'm so-and-so's wife, I'm so-and-so's mother, you know, I'm this, I'm that. And he's yeah. like, no, take all that away, set that over here. Who are you?
Yeah.
I couldn't answer it. Mm. I couldn't answer it.
Mm.
Because my whole identity was wrapped up in him.
Wow. Wow.
And every day that I woke up, whether I was going to have a good day or a bad day depended on what kind of day he was having.
Oh.
And then it trickled down.
So your identity was not based in the Lord. It was not based in whose you are
or
who you are in
Absolutely
him.
Not.
It was based on I'm Sharon, I'm wife to this man, I'm mother to these kids.
Yep.
I am, you know, ranch hand extraordinaire.
Yep.
I can whip up a mean batch of chocolate chip cookies for you or whatever, you
I
know.
Can and, on bale hay with a tractor. Hay.
That's right, yeah,
that's right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so through going through divorce care, you found out who you are in Christ.
Absolutely.
Whose you are, that you belong to him.
Absolutely.
He gave you life, gave you purpose, and he spoke to you that day, and he said, I did this for you to set you free.
And it's like I envisioned like a light bulb in the ceiling with a chain hanging down like in a basement or something. And when he said that to me, I just envisioned pulling that chain and the light bulb coming on.
Yeah.
It was like, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah. How long into the process was that?
Oh, that was probably a year into it.
Oh, gotcha. Well, you've been so faithful, you and your husband, Bob. You guys have been married 10 years now, right? 16 years. Goodness me, 16.
Yes.
16 years now, and so that's another story for another time. Fantastic.
That is. Well,
those of you listening, if you know Sharon or if you're acquainted with her, ask her that story. It's really fun to hear.
Mm-hmm.
But you're now a divorce care facilitator on our divorce care team here at Emmanuel. And, you know, we're gearing up, you know, for another session here in January. And, of course, when this airs, we'll probably be a few sessions into it.
Mm-hmm.
But what words of encouragement to finish up today? What words of encouragement would you give someone who is struggling through the pain of separation, the pain of divorce? Yeah.
There's hope. There's hope and healing. If I can find hope and if I can be healed, you can too.
Mm.
There's a life out there to live. And God has a plan for your life. He really does. And he knows what you're going through. And what I find interesting is he already knew that I was going to go through this.
Mm.
He knew when I married this man that this was going to happen. He knows the beginning and the end.
Yeah.
And now to be filled with joy. I was never filled with this much joy when I was married to my first husband.
Mm.
And I've been blessed. I couldn't even tell you how many blessings I've had fall down on me.
Mm.
after the fact. Yeah. I mean, you just have to, you have to humble yourself before the Lord.
Yeah.
You have to just reach out because he's there waiting.
Yeah, yeah, and trust him.
Yes.
I think that, that what he's doing is that he's going to redeem it. He's going to bring good from
it, beauty
from the ashes. Because I know a lot of people, you know, there may be some people listening right now who are going through, it may not be a divorce. It may be a diagnosis. It may be the loss of a loved one. Of course, mm-hmm. we offer Grief Share.
Yes.
Our next session will start in September. We no matter what you're going through, like, we know you're in the middle of it. And we know it's hard. And we know the future seems uncertain.
It does.
But God is the God who says, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. I will be with you every step of the way. I'm going to prepare the way, and I'll be there at the end of the journey.
Absolutely. You know, that song, I'm not good with music or anything, but...
Oh, you can sing it for us.
No, you don't want that. Where he brings beauty from the ashes.
That's right.
It was playing one time in a former church I went to, and I was an usher.
Yeah.
And the band, and they were singing it, and it hit me like a truck. It was like, that was my story. And I was ushering with this gentleman who we became good friends, and I stood there sobbing and sobbing and sobbing, and he's like, what is the matter with you? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. I can't stop crying. But that whole song spoke to me that I was a pile of ashes.
Yeah.
I was just broken.
Burnt to the ground, just like that barn. Yeah.
And he made beauty.
Yeah.
The Lord made beauty.
Yeah.
Out of my life.
Oh. Well, speaking of beauty, this conversation has been so fantastic. And Sharon, I love you. Love your family.
Love you,
I'm so thankful for you and your impact on so many people's lives here at Emmanuel and at Faith Chapel previously. And I'm excited for the impact that you're going to have on the future. And so, for those of you listening who are going through a struggle like divorce or separation, it's not too late to reach out. There's help, there's hope, there's healing. Well, that was a wonderful conversation with Sharon, and one that hopefully the Lord used to speak to your heart. Wherever you are on this journey of life, know that God is with you, will never leave you, and has exactly what you need for today. If you or someone you know is going through the devastation of divorce or is still struggling with the aftermath of divorce, please tell them about this vital ministry. God desires to bring healing to you, and divorce care could be a part of it. Once again, we are meeting the fall of 2024 on Tuesday nights from 6:30 to 8 p.m. Our first session is September 3rd. You can sign up on our website or at divorcecare.org. Well, thank you for listening to this conversation and for Sharon for bearing her heart so beautifully. I rejoice in all that God has done in her life and hoped that you were blessed by it. Take care.